Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see. Nothing to see. Nothing to see.
You are listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced at NASCAD University. This episode is entitled The Nine Lives of Schrödinger's Cat.
The Nine Lives of Schrödinger's Cat. The Egyptian sun god, Atum-Ra, created himself from his own shadow before creating the other eight major gods of the Ennead, the Nine, in Egyptian mythology. He was also known to disguise himself as a cat when traveling to the underworld. This might be why we have the idea that a cat has nine lives. In his famous thought experiment that exposes the problem of applying quantum mechanics to everyday objects, Erwin Schrödinger chose a cat for an imaginary journey into the quantum underworld. The cat is placed in a sealed box where a single radioactive atom determines if the cat lives or dies. According to Bohr and Heisenberg's Copenhagen interpretation of quantum mechanics, the cat is literally neither dead nor alive until the box is opened and the experiment observed. But Schrödinger couldn't accept that it is our curiosity that kills the cat. He was not ready to let go of the idea of an objective reality or to accept the premise that our observations of the world are entangled with reality. He wrote, "There is a difference between a shaky or out-of-focus photograph and a snapshot of clouds and fog banks." The true hero of this scientific melodrama, who swoops in to save the poor cat, is a young grad student named Hugh Everett III, who audaciously suggested that the world where we put this cat in the box is not necessarily the same world as the one in which we unbox the cat. Everett's magic trick was to point out that in reading Schrödinger's equation, the fundamental mathematical playbook of quantum mechanics, there is nothing that suggests that only one reality should emerge from the situation. All the possible worlds that might happen, Everett suggested, did happen. Everett's many worlds interpretation replaces to be or not to be with to be and not to be, as the cat can live all its nine lives at the same time.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
On April the 27th, 1900, the prominent British physicist Lord Kelvin welcomed the new century with a speech that optimistically summarized the achievements of 19th century physics. He did, however, add the caveat that the beauty and clearness of the dynamical theory is at present obscured by two clouds. over a century since Lord Kelvin's speech, those two clouds have reigned on the parade of classical physics. One of the clouds was the Michelson-Morley experiment that tried in vain to find the ether that light waves traveled through. That failed search led Einstein to his theory of relativity. The other cloud was the ultraviolet catastrophe, an experiment that looked at the unusual distribution of radiant energy in a black box. From this experiment, Max Planck reluctantly posited the notion of light quanta that has since developed into the sticky world of quantum mechanics. On December the 6th, 1917, the cargo ship SS Mont Blanc collided with a Belgian relief ship, the SS Emo, in the Narrows section of the Halifax harbor. Sparks from the collision ignited fuel barrels on the deck of the Mont Blanc that then detonated the 2.9 kilotons of TNT packed tightly in its hold. The force of the explosion shaved the hills surrounding the Halifax harbour of houses and trees and wiped out the Turtle Grove Micmac settlement in Dartmouth. As the harbour was emptied, a tsunami crashed into the city before a large cloud was catapulted 20,000 feet into the air, a prequel to the terrifying mushroom cloud of the nuclear age. The scientists of the Manhattan Project studied this explosion as they developed the atomic bomb.
Do you see yonder cloud that's almost in shape of a camel? By the mass, and 'tis like a camel indeed. Methinks it is like a weasel. It is backed like a weasel. Or like a whale. Very like a whale.
In his book, The Blind Watchmaker, the evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins addressed the criticism that evolution cannot create complexity from random gene mutations. The claim was that evolution is as unlikely as Hamlet being composed by monkeys randomly typing on typewriters. Dawkins used a computer program to demonstrate how, through the principles of feedback and evolutionary selection, random, single-step mutations can quite quickly evolve a meaningless mixture of letters into a recognizable sentence like Hamlet's, "Methinks it is like a weasel."
Methinks it is like a weasel. Polonius. It is backed like a weasel. Hamlet. Or like a whale. Polonius. Very like a whale.
Oh God, I could be bounded in a nutshell and count myself a king of infinite space, were it not that I have bad dreams. Which dreams indeed are ambition, for the very substance of the ambitious is merely the shadow of a dream. A dream itself is but a shadow. Truly, and I hold ambition of so airy and light a quality that it is but a shadow's shadow. Then are our beggars, bodies, and our monarchs and outstretched heroes the beggars' shadows.
Fat Man and Little Boy were the nicknames of the two bombs dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima at the end of the Second World War. These attacks caused the death of hundreds of thousands of civilians. The aftermath is chronicled in the propaganda film A Tale of Two Cities, made by the US War Department in 1946. It shows decimated landscapes bereft of corpses, but with atomic shadows left on the buildings and sidewalks of the cities, where citizens were instantly turned to ash. On August the 4th, 1975, after a bet with a group of Australian fans, the 24-year-old English merchant seaman Michael Angelo stripped naked and ran across the pitch of the hallowed Lord's Cricket Ground in London. This greatly enlivened the doldrums of the fourth day of the five-day cricket match between England and Australia that was part of the Ashes series. The morning papers featured the image of this freaker triumphantly launching himself over the stumps at the pavilion end of the Lord's Cricket Ground in an expression of ecstasy that rivaled the figures painted on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel by the freaker's namesake, Michelangelo. The three identical smokestacks on the Tufts Cove power plant are oriented in a north-northwest direction along the Dartmouth side of the Narrows section of the Halifax Harbour and overlook the site of the 1917 Halifax explosion. This distinctive and iconic feature of the Halifax skyline shares the same proportions as that of a set of cricket stumps. In cricket, the number 111 is referred to as a Nelson. Superstition surrounds this number since the three ones in a row resemble the wicket without bails, meaning that the batsman is out. Some players and umpires have devised odd rituals, such as jumping up and down or standing on one leg when the score reaches 111 or multiples thereof. Nelson refers to the British naval hero Lord Horatio Nelson. The three ones could be in reference to his three great naval victories, Trafalgar, the Nile, and Copenhagen. It could also refer to the idea that he had only one arm, one eye, and one leg. Although he actually had two legs, speculation was that he lost another part. The Ashes Trophy is a small urn said to contain the burnt remains of a bales from the stumps used in a cricket game that England lost to Australia during the Australian team's first tour of England in 1882. After England's humiliation, a mock obituary was published in the Sporting Times that read, "In affectionate remembrance of English cricket, which died at the Oval on 29th of August 1882. Deeply lamented by a large circle of sorrowing friends and acquaintances, the body will be cremated and the ashes taken to Australia." The 1882-1883 return series played in Australia was cast as a quest to regain the ashes. Since then, the two great cricket rivals have been playing for possession of this trophy. Truckers travelling through the Washington DC Beltway in the 1980s would often talk by CB radio to a chain-smoking defence contractor known by his handle Mad Scientist. His real name was Hugh Everett III. In 1957, Hugh Everett III wrote a PhD thesis outlining a radical new interpretation of quantum mechanics that was considered mad by many of the physicists who read it. Everett visited Copenhagen to explain his ideas to Niels Bohr, the leading authority on quantum mechanics, but the 75-year-old was not at all interested in this new, strange upstart theory. The 27-year-old grad student's thesis would require the complete dismantling of Bohr's great legacy, the Copenhagen interpretation of quantum mechanics. After his unsatisfactory meeting with Bohr, Everett found himself at the Hotel Osterport Bar in Copenhagen, drinking beer and noodling with mathematical problems on hotel stationery. It was there that Everett had another breakthrough. He discovered a new use for what were called generalized Lagrange multipliers that, in the decades to follow, Everett would use in his work for the Weapons Systems Evaluation Group to provide the statistical backbone for the famous WSEG-50 report. This report described the devastating effects of a radiation fallout from a global nuclear war, an analysis that would soon become known as the Doctrine of Mutually Assured Destruction, or MAD, MAD. Everett's statistical projections helped dampen the enthusiasm of the hawkish American military for a first strike, winnable nuclear war. His many worlds theory of quantum mechanics only began to gain traction after his death. At the beginning of Act 5, Hamlet comes across two gravediggers digging a grave for Ophelia, who was driven insane by Hamlet's feigned madness. When he discovers the skull of King Hamlet's clown, Yorick, he declares that he was a man of infinite jest. A sense of perspective is needed to get a joke. John Allen Paulus wrote, "To get a joke, one must ascend, so to speak, to the meta level at which both interpretations, the familiar and the incongruous, can be imagined and compared." April the 21st, 2013, the 111th day of the year, the American rock group The Eels played a concert in Vienna. A YouTube video of the event titled "Eel Singer Punched on Stage by Angry Clown" shows the band's singer, Mark Everett, being harassed and joke-punched by a 6-foot-7-inch clown named Puddles, who was touring with the band as an opening act. Mark Everett is the son of Hugh Everett III. Hitchcock worked with Cary Grant on a modern version of Hamlet before starting work on the Cold War comedy North by Northwest. The film makes many references to Shakespeare's most famous play. The title itself suggests Hamlet's line about feigning madness: "I am but mad North, Northwest." And the film, with its staged dramas and fictional personae, makes ample use of the play within the play. Even the monogrammed matchbook seems to refer to the rottenness of the state of Denmark. Cary Grant's character, Roger O. Thornhill, explains that the middle initial means nothing. The coffin-shaped letter is just for show. This was an in-joke for Hitchcock, since his first American producer, David O. Selznick, who also produced the 1935 version of Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities, had added an equally empty O to his name in order to distinguish himself from his uncle, David Selznick. On April the 15th, 2014, the container vessel the Charles Dickens, formerly of the Copenhagen-based Maersk Lines, came into port in Halifax. This was 172 years after the ship's namesake had arrived in Halifax to begin a speaking tour of North America in 1842. Although the tour had been profitable and popular, Dickens returned to England sick and exhausted, and so in 1861, when the catering company Spears and Pond approached him with an offer to undertake a similar tour of Australia, he declined the invitation. This resulted in an invitation for the English cricket team to visit Australia instead. And it was from that reciprocal invitation for the Australian cricket team to tour England in 1871 that the Ashes Trophy was born. In 2010, 22-year-old Ashley Carreques, a babysitter from Westfield, Massachusetts, attracted the attention of the legions of fans of the celebrated Ashes cricket tournament that was being played in Australia. Ashley went by the Twitter name The Ashes, her boyfriend's pet name for her. After she tweeted that she was not a freaking cricket match, her Twitter followers bloomed to over 13,500. They then took it upon themselves to sponsor a trip to Australia for her to learn more about the game. Hashtag teach the Ashes the Ashes. Christiania is an autonomous free town founded in 1971 by squatters who occupied an abandoned military installation in the center of Copenhagen. It is now an anarchist community of about 1,000 residents who live with a certain degree of autonomy from the state of Denmark. Their flag features a red field with three yellow dots representing the dots on the eyes in the word Christiania. The three dots could also be read as the ellipsis, the punctuation mark used to designate an intentional omission from quotation. Or as an aposiopesis that indicates dialogue that trails off to silence. Shannon Park is a former military housing complex that was built on the north shore of the narrow section of the Halifax Harbour on a piece of land between Highway 111 and the Tufts Cove power plant. The brutalist concrete buildings were erected in the 1950s on the site of the Turtle Grove Mi'kmaq community that was destroyed in the 1917 Halifax explosion. After the complex was closed in 2004, it fell into disrepair and was occupied by squatters. The buildings were eventually demolished in 2016.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced at Nesked University. This episode has been The Nine Lives of Schrödinger's Cat. It was written by David Clark. Narrated by Matt Soar. Sound design was by David Clark, with music by Ross Unger. Nothing to See Here is produced by David Clark at Nesked University. For more episodes, please search for Nothing to See Here Radio on SoundCloud.com.